side. Rest to the restless, freedom from fear, when things seem impossible.
It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to another Souls Harbor Worship Service. We're glad that you've chosen to join us today. We trust that in this next hour, that God will share Himself with you in such a way that you will feel yourself growing stronger, that you will feel the peace of God settle down upon you, and that God will help you to see a way through these troubles and trials of life that you may be going through. As we begin today's service, we're going to ask the Golden Harmony Trio to come and sing a song that I think is appropriate for the time that we're living in. If there was ever a time we needed a big, mighty God, it's today. So as they're singing it, let's begin to trust God for the miracles that we have need of, so that when that big, mighty God begins to move in our lives, He will grant to us big and mighty miracles. Let this song bless you as Golden Harmony comes to sing, "We Need a Big, Mighty God."
Children of Israel standing at the Red Sea, wondering how they got between the water and the enemy. Couldn't move forward, couldn't go back. God had them where He wanted them, frozen in their tracks.
Then I'm guessing this was their conversation. Lord, we're in a mighty bad situation.
We need a big, mighty God in a mighty big way. God with the power that the waters obey. You know that we are mighty small, and we sure need You to save the day. We need a big, mighty God in a mighty big way.
Twelve disciples in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, tossing in the storm, and they were wondering how the Lord could sleep.
Taking on water, thinking they'd drown. God had them where He wanted them,
scared of going down. And I'm guessing this was their conversation. Lord, we're in a mighty bad situation.
We need a big, mighty God in a mighty big way. God with the power that the waters obey. You know that we are mighty small, and we sure need You to save the day. We need a big, mighty God in a mighty big way. His hands
stirred the
water. His word
was to calm the raging sea.
When it looks like everything is hopeless,
He knows we need.
He knows we need. He knows we need. God in a mighty big way. God with the power that the waters obey. You know that we are mighty small, and we sure need You to save the day. We need a big, mighty God in a mighty big way. You know that we are we're mighty small, and we sure need you to save the day. We need a big, mighty God in a mighty big way. We need a big, mighty God in a mighty big way. We need a big, mighty God.
When I think of the mighty big God that we're serving today, I'm reminded of those things that God has done down through the pages of history. Things that were in the natural unbelievable. But a faith in God believes it because faith tells us our God can do anything. When the troubles and trials of life come, we need to look to Him as our main source of help. It's all right to lean a little bit on others that may be around us. But what we've learned here in the last few weeks is that sometimes you're not able to be with others. And so you're falling back on your own strength to get by, to outlast the thing that you're going through. Well, I'm glad that even when we're all by ourselves, we can experience the presence of God and know that our big God is going to take care of us, even though our situations themselves may seem to be very, very big. You may be going through some difficult times, sailing some dark and stormy seas, and you wonder if you're going to be able to make it. Well, Pastor Dave Bean is coming to sing a song that I hope will help you today. When you're on the stormy seas of life, it's good to turn to the one who commands the winds and the waves. Jesus proved it when He spoke to the winds and He spoke to the waves, when He caused them to cease their blowing and to cease their rolling. They had no choice but to do what Jesus had commanded them to do. Today, as Pastor Bean comes, he's coming to share with us a song that helps to encourage us by saying, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul.
If your heart is heavy with some grief or struggle, you don't have to bear it all alone, for you have a friend who knows your struggles, and he'll be standing there when all your other friends have turned and gone. He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. He'll take your broken heart and make it whole. And if the storms of your life are growing dark and cold, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Deep down in every heart, there seems to be a longing to find happiness and peace of mind. And if your heart gets weary from the searching, just turn to Jesus, and then, my friend, you're sure to find. He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. He'll take your broken heart and make it whole. And if the storms of your life are growing dark and cold. He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. He'll take your broken heart and make it whole. And if the storms of your life are growing dark and cold, He will calm the troubled waters, those deep, dark, troubled waters. He will calm the troubled waters of your soul.
I think this would be an excellent time for us to take a moment or two out of this service to pray for some folk that may be going through some dark, troubled waters. Today, it just seems like your ordeal has gone on too long. You're feeling weary from the battle that you have been waging. You've been trying to keep your chin up. You've been trying to be encouraged. You've tried to keep a positive outlook, and you've just worn yourself out doing it because it's been such a lengthy ordeal that now you are beginning to bend beneath the load of that burden that you're carrying. I know that just saying the right words is not enough. Those words have to be backed up with something that is real, and it has to be something that's not of this world. We need God to step in and reinforce things that are going on in our life to help us, to strengthen us, to give us courage, to keep things looking up rather than down, to see the possibilities rather than the shortcomings. We don't know where everything is going to end up, but we do know this. In the hands of God, how can it end up badly? It can't. Because God can overcome anything that is happening in our world today. We just have to maintain our faith in Him. Today, as I lead you in prayer, I'm going to pray that God will just pour out a little more of Himself into your life so that as you feel His presence, whatever you may need from God will come with the presence of God that you feel. And all of a sudden, you'll feel renewed strength and power to face the things that you're going through. Oh, God will help you today. I'm confident of that. If I wasn't, we'd just throw in another song and keep going, or just end this service altogether. But I believe God is able. And so I'm going to go to God in prayer on your behalf, taking the faith that is welling up within me today to trust Him for a miracle for your life. Would you pray along with me? Precious Jesus, we thank You today that Your presence makes the difference. When we feel You near, we feel power. We feel strength. We feel like we're invincible because we know that You're standing with us. Today I pray for those that are growing battle-weary, those who seemingly have been through a long test and trial of their faith. God, I pray that in this Souls Harbor worship service today, they would feel Your presence. And in feeling Your presence, they will receive into their lives all that they have need of. It may be that they don't even know exactly what it is they need. They just know they're missing something. Well, I pray, God, that You would just fill that hole in their lives today, that You would anticipate the things that they're going through and meet every need that they have, for we know You are able. If You can't help us, nobody can help us. If You're not willing to help us, then, Lord, how can we be helped? But, God, we know You can, and we know You will. So, Lord, we thank You even now for the things that You are doing on behalf of each member of this viewing audience today. For we've asked you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, it's me again in trouble. I ask so much of you. I know I'm so unworthy. Your love I can hold to. There's heartaches all around me. Please show me what to do. It's me again, Lord, I'm needing you. Lord, it's me again, I'm always needing you. I could never make it by myself, no matter what I do. You have the keys to open doors and let me pass on through. It's me again, Lord, I'm needing you. Lord, it's just for a moment, your hand had slipped from mine. I knew I had to find you, as I have so many times. You hear me far, we call you, and I'm so glad you do. It's me again, Lord, I'm needing you. Lord, it's me again, I'm always needing you. I could never make it by myself, no matter what I do. You have the keys to open doors and let me pass on through. It's me again, Lord, I'm needing you. Oh yes, it's me again, Lord, I'm needing you.
Throughout my years of ministry, there have been many times when people have come to me and asked me, Pastor Rick, is there a limit to how many times I can go to God and ask Him for His help? Without hesitating one bit, I can tell you today, I can't find any place in the Word of God where we are limited or restricted in how many times we go to God. It may seem to you like the 1,000,000th time you've asked God for His help. Well, keep asking Him because He is helping you. It may seem like that your situation has gone on for too long and you're taking that as a sign that God's not going to do it. Well, I remind you that in the Word of God, there were some people that prayed, and because they were praying, the enemy of their lives tried to interfere and stop the hand of God from moving. But because they continued to pray, God broke through that thing that the enemy was trying to do, and He delivered a tremendous miracle as a result. Today, it just might be that He's doing that for you. I don't know what your need may be. I don't know what you may be asking God to do. But I can tell you this, by faith, your promise is coming down the dusty road of your life, and He has the key to what you need. Listen to it in the words of the song that Hope Trio is coming to sing as they come to sing a song entitled The Promise.
Fear gripped the crowd that day at Jairus' home when the doctor shook his head and said, "She's gone." You could feel the mother's heartbreak. You could hear them cry and mourn. Their little girl was only 12 years old. And somewhere in the distance, outlined against the sun, there came a man on a mission from the throne. They said, "Look, somebody's coming." But what they did not know, it was their promise coming down that dusty road. There's a promise coming down that dusty road, and from his holy hand healing virtue flows. He's got the key to what you need. Death and hell he will defeat. There's a promise coming down that dusty road. Well, the wonder turned to mocking when Jesus did speak, 'cause he said, "Your daughter's not dead, she's just asleep." Then he turned to the unbelievers and he told them, "Oh, go home," he said, "just leave me and death alone." And then he laid his hand upon the child and he looked death right in the eye. He said, "All power in heaven and earth, it belongs to me." And with a voice that sounds like thunder, he hurled death asunder. And he said, "My child, rise and be healed." There's a promise coming down that dusty road, and from his holy hand, healing virtue flows. He's got the key to what you need. Death and hell he will defeat. There's a promise coming down that dusty road. Oh, there's a promise coming down that dusty road. And from his holy hand, healing virtue flows. He's got the key to what you need. Death and hell he will defeat. Well, there's a promise coming down your dusty road. He's got the key to what you need. Death and hell he will defeat. There's a promise coming down your dusty road. There's a promise coming down your dusty, dusty road.
I really do believe today that if we could open our eyes of faith, we would discover that we are much closer to a miracle than we realize. I could stand here and talk about this a long time today to encourage you, but I think I'm just going to let Holly Jondro come and sing the next song, because in this song that she's going to sing, we have a message of encouragement. Because today I really do believe he's sending miracles.
I need your touch. I have sending miracles down my way. He's sending blessings and answers along to guide my way. So if I can just believe, and if I could only receive, I'll get a miracle sent down to me. Grasp of doubt and fear, send me a miracle, send me your touch. For there's still power in your hand, Lord, and nothing else will do. I need a miracle to make it through. Sending miracles down my way. He's sending blessings and answers along to guide my way. So if I can just believe, and if I could only receive, I'll get a And if I can only receive, I'll get a miracle sent down to me.
We have reached that time in our service where each and every week we pause for a moment or two to talk to you about the financial situation of the Souls Harbor Ministry. I know that this is not everybody's favorite part of the service. In fact, a few days ago, somebody said to me, "Pastor Rick, do you know that you could play another song in the amount of time that you take each and every week to get on there and ask us to send money?" I said, "That's true. I could play another song, but only for a week or two, because after that, we would be off the air." It takes doing what we do each and every week to remind folk that this service is brought to you through your free will contributions. Today, we just simply pause to ask you to please consider helping us here at Souls Harbor with the expenses associated with airing this worship service on television each Sunday morning. Regardless of which station you are watching us on, we have to pay for the airtime. And that's what we're asking you to help us with, the airtime expenses of this ministry being here, so that each and every week, through the message of the gospel, we can share with you the sort of things that will encourage your faith, strengthen your resolve, to encourage you to keep pressing onward. For time is growing short, and what we do now counts so much. Because what a terrible thing it would be to give up this close to the end of mankind's journey. Oh, I know I'm bordering on preaching now, but you see, I believe that time is short, that God is getting ready to come to carry His children away to a place called heaven. We're doing our very best to reach out each week with the message to encourage folk to hang on until that moment arrives. And surely today there are some who are not ready for that moment when it arrives. We're trusting that through this service that can be accomplished as well, that we can help somebody find the answers that they have been looking for. The answer is Jesus. Would you please help us today with our expenses? Any contribution that you can help us with will be a big help to us. So please today, consider doing something. I'll give you our contact information. That way you'll know how to get in touch with us. And in the next few days, if you would, please send your contribution along so that we can quickly apply it to the debt that we owe, and then we can come back another week to share another service with you. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. To make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. In the U.S., you can also make a contribution online. Just click on the Donate button at the bottom of our homepage. That website address is www.soulsharbor.tv. For our friends in Canada, please write to our Canadian office at Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. To make a contribution in Canada by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. Thank you so much for anything that you are going to do to help us with the indebtedness of airing this Souls Harbor worship service. We pray daily that God will bless each one that takes a part in supporting this ministry through prayer and financial giving. We're trusting that God is doing that. We are so very grateful for those who each and every month faithfully support this ministry. We know we cannot do without you. Therefore, we pray for heaven's richest blessings to be poured out upon your life. Thank you so much for your help today. Before I share something from the Word of God, I want to go over and sing a song that you don't hear sung very often anymore. It's not really all that old. It's just one of those songs that seems to have been forgotten or put on a shelf somewhere and not pulled out and sung very much. It's a song that I find myself singing quite a bit because it reflects the feeling of my heart. If you know this song, sing it along with me. Let's lift up the name of Jesus today as we share the song, What a Lovely Name.
There's a name above all others, wonderful to hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, he's sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. He'll return in clouds of glory, saints of every race shall behold his face. With him we will enter heaven's city, ever to acclaim. What a lovely name. Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, and he's sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, and he's sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. What a lovely name.
There is no name like the name of Jesus. Speaking his name just seems to trigger something within us. It's not a bad feeling, it's a good feeling. It's a feeling of empowerment, because when we speak his name, it releases him into our lives. And as we've said in this service already, his presence makes the difference. Oh, what a name, the name of Jesus. Truly, like the songwriter wrote, there's just something about that name. When that name is spoken, giants begin to turn and run. Demons break out in a nervous perspiration. And the devil bows his head, for he knows he's about to lose another battle. Just by you and I speaking the name of Jesus. Now the reason for that is this. That the name is synonymous with the man who bears the name. Jesus is like no other man who ever walked this earth. Oh, I'm sure there have been some mothers that called their sons Jesus. But those sons could never do what the Son has done. The only begotten Son of God the Father is different than any other man that ever walked the earth. For when we read the record of his life, that record being found in this great book, we discover that everywhere he went, he did good. He performed miracles. He did what no other man could do. Now, the good news for you and I today is that we are still able to walk and talk with that man. We can call upon the name of the Lord, and in calling upon his name, we can share with him our greatest trials and tribulations, our heaviest of burdens, and in doing so, he reaches out to touch us, to help us with those things that we are going through. I want to read of just one occasion where Jesus did that for a woman that was going through a long, lengthy ordeal where she needed help, but in the natural couldn't find anything that would help her. But one day when Jesus came along, he made the difference. Oh, some of you are already trying to guess where we're going, and without a doubt, some of you are right. That's where we're going. It's the book of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, I'm going to take time to read several verses here because I think that this passage of Scripture can do a lot of the preaching that I'm just not going to have time to get to today. Reading it will remind you of it being here in the Word of God, but it will also give you the opportunity to go back and read it over and over again to pick out those little things that will be a help to your life. In Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Now, I know this is a familiar portion of Scripture. I know we've heard it many, many times, but I never tire of hearing it because I see so many parallels in this little woman's story compared to our own story. Here is a lady who has suffered for 12 years a condition in her body of losing blood. We don't know what the cause of her issue was. We don't know why she was hemorrhaging and the doctors of her day couldn't help her. The Bible doesn't tell us that, and there's no record known that can define what it could have been so that we could say, well, that was a simple little thing or that was a complicated thing. We just know she was suffering from it. And she had gone to every physician she could find. She had talked to every doctor she could consult with. She had spent everything that she had looking for a cure. She may have even tried some old wives' tales, thinking that she could find something that would help her. But the bottom line is that she grew worse and worse. In other words, after 12 years, she has reached a point where the toll has been taken on her body. She no longer looks like she looked. She no longer moves like she once moved. She no longer can do what she once did because whatever this disease was had begun to destroy her, taking her life. There was this day when Jesus comes to town. We read it in verse 24. He was being pressed, or the throng was so strong around him that it was very difficult for anybody to get very close to him. If you weren't in that center circle and you were on the outside, you weren't going to be able to press through all the bodies that had gathered around him. The excitement over his presence was so large, and such a large crowd had gathered that in the natural, this little woman didn't stand a chance of getting near him. In fact, because of the situation she was in, she wasn't even supposed to be out where the public could get around her, or she got around the public. In that day, the issue of blood was a terrible thing, and anything that she touched would be defiled and would have to go through a rite of purification before they could gather around others. This woman should have been shut away and kept away from everybody as far as that Hebrew custom of the day was concerned. But she had nothing to lose. She had tried everything else she could try. And when she heard of this man Jesus coming to town, and she knew of his reputation, something inside of her said, if I can get to him, I can be healed. I can be made whole. Think of how discouraging it must have been when she first looked at where Jesus was, when she saw the press of the crowd around him. Something inside of her must have surely said, it's impossible. I'll never be able to do it. But as she found herself getting closer to the crowd, she was more determined that she was going to find a way in. Now, you can just mark this off as a preacher's imagination, but I just pictured this little woman already weak, emaciated. She doesn't have the strength to move bodies aside. She doesn't have the ability to command people to get out of the way. So she does what she can do. She falls at the feet of those that had gathered around Jesus and begin to press through the sea of legs, trying to reach where Jesus is. All the strength that must have welled up within her as her faith said, keep pressing forward, keep pressing forward. You're almost there. They surely stepped on her. They may have kicked her somewhat. They may have done everything unknowingly to hinder her, but her faith made her determined. The Bible tells us that she finally got to where she just grazed the hem of his garment. You say, well, what was in that garment that healed her? There was nothing in the garment itself, except her faith said, if I can but touch him. That was as close as she was going to get at that moment. But the minute her fingers touched the garment that Jesus was wearing, Jesus, sensing that virtue had just flowed out of him, said, who touched me? What a ridiculous question to ask, the disciples thought. What do you mean, who touched me? Look at the crowd around you. Everybody was touching you. What made this little woman's touch different than the touch of others? I think you'll find it in the faith that she had. You see, we're always telling you that faith makes the difference. And here we have proof that one little woman's faith made the difference for her. What I want to use this story to tell you today is this, that if you would have faith like this little woman, maybe everything in the natural says it's impossible. Maybe everything that you've looked at said don't even bother to try. It won't ever happen. But don't give up. Hang on to your faith. And with your faith, approach where Jesus is today. For if you can but touch the hem of his garment, you too can receive the miracle that you have need of. She touched the hem of his garment. Jesus says, who touched me? When they finally discovered who it was, when this little woman came forward and admitted it was her, she could have come up with a whole bunch of excuses, trying to make allowances for what she did, but she didn't. She just simply said, it was me. I touched you. There was no rebuke from Jesus. There was no chastisement that was poured out upon her because she did what she wasn't supposed to do. He just looked at her and said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Oh, Wouldn't you like to hear those words today? Wouldn't you like to hear Jesus say, "Daughter or son, thy faith has made thee whole"? Is there something going on in your life today that's too large for you to deal with? Is there something going on within you today that you don't have any cure for, any remedy for, any help for? And there's only one thing you can do, that is take your faith and reach out to touch the hem of his garment. Friend, today, if you can do that, I know it may seem like it's a fruitless endeavor. In the natural, people would call you foolish for even thinking of it, let alone trying it. But friend, faith does make the difference. Oh, I wish I could encourage you a little bit more today to believe and trust God for the answers to the things that are happening in your life. But faith is going to have to do that work in you. It's not just because I've said it. It's because faith has done the work. Trust him and you'll find the miracles that you have need of. Dear Jesus, right now, for everyone that's in need, I pray that you will be found close enough to them that they could reach out to touch you one more time. And because of their faith, may they be made whole today, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
I've heard once a bird has a broken wing. He can never fly high end anymore. Let me tell you what I know. It's not always so, 'cause once I lay broken and so I fell from above like a wounded dove with no hope of ever flying again. But with grace from above and God's marvelous love, I'm flying higher than I've ever been. You can see heaven's door. I'm flying higher than I've ever been. See, I fell by the way. I was life's wounded prey. That's when Satan, like a vulture, he swept low. And in my darkest hour, that's when the enemy came to try to devour what was left of my wretched, my dying soul. But as low as life gets, Oh, God was not finished yet. He saw more good than I ever saw in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now I live above the doubts, so high in the clouds that I can't see the tops of the trees higher than I've ever been. Come on, church, let's go higher, higher than yesterday's sin. Going where eagle can soar, you can see heaven's door. I'm flying higher than I've ever been. Oh, where eagle can soar, you can see
in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest